Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman, and how about those Memphis Grizzlies? I know that he has consistently been referred to as a up-and-coming GM, as one of the best minds out there over the past year in the NBA, but congratulations to the Memphis Grizzlies, their coaching staff, and their front office, especially the man known as Zach King-Kleiman, on a absolutely wonderful draft night. And we are here to certainly talk with you about it right now. It is almost 1 o'clock in the morning, but I am absolutely ecstatic and full of excitement on what turned into just an absolutely incredible night. I understand that the Grizzlies' first pick wasn't till 30. I understand that it's very unlikely that all of these players really hit on what we hope that they could become. But the mere fact that the Memphis Grizzlies came out of a draft night for the third straight year, if you want to be, completely honest, for the third straight year, the Memphis Grizzlies really stood out as having one of the better drafts in the league. It is such an incredible feeling to be a fan of this organization right now. Really is fun to watch, and just as incredible to go into these type of events and to go into these type of opportunities and just realize that the Grizzlies each and every time have the chance to really come out truly better than they did before it started. As I mentioned, my name is Sean Coleman. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the show, or the podcast, wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your phone, wherever you choose to listen to podcasts. And we ask that you do listen. Please review, subscribe, let us know what you'd like for us to talk about. We've got plenty to talk about when it comes to the draft, much more than expected, and that's going to be the sole focus of this show. Forgive my a little bit of excited outburst to begin the show, but just genuinely am very excited right now for another great night for this franchise and to be not only someone that covers the Grizzlies, but just in general a fan of the Grizzlies. So let's get right into it. Obviously, the Grizzlies came into tonight looking at potentially adding a relevant talent, not necessarily someone that's going to help immediately when it comes to the 2020-2021 NBA season, but just looking to add someone that could give them depth, someone that may be a developmental piece that could really add to this future going forward. Probably not a clear, piece for the future, but someone that could potentially have that potential. Well, as I mentioned in yesterday's show, one news nugget that came out was that the Memphis Grizzlies were looking at potential, they had worked out Stanford guard Tyrell Terry, and that indicated that the Grizzlies were looking at a range of prospects that more than likely were not going to be there at the number 40 pick. So that did add a bit of excitement. And with the trade creativity that we had seen in the past when it came to Zach Kleiman in the front office, it started to spark a little bit of interest. What could the Grizzlies really be up to when it came to the opportunities to see what occurred? Well, as the draft started to unfold and it began to progress, I can promise you this, we will certainly have plenty of other draft reaction beyond the Grizzlies here over the next few days through our Locked On Grizzlies podcast, especially when it comes to other teams in the Southwest Division. But looking at the Grizzlies as the draft progressed, one thing that started to be noticed is that some attractive names that would fit both a need and a weakness for Memphis, they started to fall. Some names that really made sense in a draft that overall was really guard-oriented, had a lot of potential when it came to potential combo guards, backcourt options, and potential microwave scorers and shooters. So the three names that really stood out were Tyrese Maxey from Kentucky, RJ Hampton, who had played in Australia with Memphis connections, and Desmond Bane when it came to TCU. Well, as I mentioned on Twitter, you started to see some folks in Memphis discuss, also Tyrell Terry, obviously, you saw four or five names that started to, get into the 20s. And as you got past obvious spots where they could have landed, one by one, yes, they did go off the draft board, but as a group, it still stayed evident that these players were going to be available towards the end of the first round. You saw Maxey go to Philadelphia at 21. You saw Hampton go to New Orleans and then go to Denver at 24. And then now you start to see, Malachi Flynn, as well, went to he went in the late 20s as well. I forget off the top of my head where he wound up going, but you start to see that now Terry and Desmond Bane are there at the 29th pick and then the 30th pick. Well, at that point, something that I can say really stood out was that I know that the Mavericks had really talked about Bane for their 18th pick, in which they got Josh Green. So at 31, the Mavericks were there to select who they wanted to pick between Terry and Bane. And it just felt like that was when the Grizzlies could make a move. And lo and behold it, in that two-minute session where you saw Woj come across and say, Boston is trading pick 30, you almost could immediately tell, if you had been following the draft, it was Memphis. And it was such an exciting feeling, because not only did Memphis go and get a player in Desmond Bane that really matched a lot of their needs, checked a lot of boxes for him, I'll get into that in the second and third segment, but they also showed a bit of gamesmanship, not necessarily anything negative, but just showed awareness that they not only got a player that they, you know, really needed and wanted, but they kept him from going to a franchise that had shown a lot of interest in them that also played in the Southwest Division in Dallas. I think that's another added aspect of this, was that they probably forced Dallas's hand by taking the guy Dallas wanted, so Dallas had to come back and take Tyrell Terry at number 31. So that's just the full complexity, not necessarily complexity, but just common sense, just the layers of common sense that this front office showed on just one pick with Desmond Bane was absolutely phenomenal. We got a player that we clearly needed, got a player that clearly fit what the Grizzlies looked to add when it comes to their draft selections, and kept him from an immediate rival. Well, the night didn't end there. At number 35, we were able to take our 40th pick, plus a future second, trade up to number 35, and get Xavier Tillman. Another player that really fits what the Grizzlies are looking for when it comes to their prospects. Another player that has good connections with Memphis already because of how close him and Jaren Jackson Jr. are. And another player that really fits the needs for Memphis when it comes to secondary playmaking in the front court and good, reliable defense on the inside. So in two picks, without giving up a first, you know, another thing that kind of was, you know, not necessarily holding our breath on, but we were really kind of see, you know, where the other shoe would drop, was what we gave to Boston in order to get Desmond Bane. The thought was is that it was going to be the Utah first, but it actually wound up being 2 seconds. So the Grizzlies were able to use their assets. I know I talk about trading for assets all the time, but they were able to take future assets and add two players that clearly are good values at where they were drafted, could potentially be steals, and check a lot of boxes for the presence and future for the Grizzlies. Though Memphis did have to give up future assets in order to draft the rights to Desmond Bane and Xavier Tillman, they were able to actually add three additional players to the Grizzlies franchise by not even drafting them, by signing them through undrafted free agency. But just because these guys were not drafted, it does not mean that they had the potential to be relevant in the future for Memphis. Of course, the big one is a name that I mentioned on here several times as being a personal favorite when it comes to the skill set of this player matching the clear preferences that head coach Taylor Jenkins has, and that's Killian Tilly. I'm going to get these guys' names mixed up like crazy. But Killian Tilly, as an undrafted free agent on a two-way contract, is incredible value. Because when it comes to Taylor Jenkins' preferences, you saw how he used Jaren Jackson Jr. You saw how we developed the three-point shooting of Brandon Clark. You saw the preferences that he showed towards using Anthony Tolliver once Jaren Jackson Jr. was injured in the bubble. Take those preferences and match them with the clear shooting ability that Tilly has, a shooting ability that is certainly more significant than Jackson Jr. or Brandon Clark showed in college, and you've got a match made in heaven in terms of a coach's preferences with a player's talent when it comes to shooting. Obviously, Tilly fell because of injuries, but he still really stands out. There's a reason why he went to Gonzaga. There's a reason why he went to the same school that Brandon Clark came from, and that Brandon Clark was able to use the tutelage that he got under Mark Few to translate into an incredible and efficient rookie year at Memphis. Killian Tilly, I'm not going to say he has that type of potential, but there's a reason why the Grizzlies went after him. And that's for several of the same reasons that they went after Brandon Clark, because of the highly intelligent, highly efficient, games that both have. And with Tilly, it's through his, with Clark, it was through his athleticism and efficiency. For Tilly, it's his shooting ability and efficiency. So Killian Tilly, even though he was added, you know, as an undrafted free agent, he truly is someone to keep your eye on because he is in the perfect system to really capitalize on his talent and become a relevant rotation piece, I think, in time. Couple of other names, Sean McDermott from Butler, another really good three-point shooting prospect at Butler, as you know, as the NBA has been accustomed to when it comes to Butler products. He signed our other two-way deal. And then Jahlil Tripp, a player from Pacific, he actually signed an Exhibit 10 contract with the Memphis Hustle. So the Grizzlies were able to add five players at the cost of 4 second-round picks. They did trade their 40th pick this year, plus 3 additional seconds. If you want to talk about a front office being creative and really, really creating value, creating more with less, that is something that you have to have in a small market like Memphis. It's something that has allowed for us to have our rebuild be so successful up to this point because of how well we did capitalizing off the Mike Conley trade last summer. And it happens again, entering the night with just 1 second-round pick and coming away with 5 new names added to the franchise, several of them who had true potential to be at least rotation pieces going forward. It was an incredible night to witness, and it was so much fun to experience it as both a fan and someone that covers the Grizzlies. I cannot express how happy I am right now. Obviously, we're going to dive a little bit more into these players. Coming up, I'm going to look at how each of these players really makes sense for Memphis in the second segment. And in the third segment, we'll discuss how these what the addition of these players mean to the Grizzlies roster and upcoming decisions over the next few days. So as you may have guessed, I certainly feel that I'm going to wake up tomorrow just as excited about the Grizzlies night as I am tonight. But I can tell you this, there are some days that it's hard to wake up and get going in the morning. You know, whether it's, you know, tackling a new project, you know, maybe it's me going to work, whatever it may be, it feels like that there's a wall that I'm facing that I've got to overcome. And one thing that I can tell you that you could add to your daily routine that really could help you get over that wall is Built Go. Built Go is the easy to take in 1.5-ounce workout gel that's the best workout gel on the market. It's basically like 5-hour energy without the same crash feeling, and it's better for your body. And it's like a monster drink with a third of the caffeine and better results. It comes in 3 delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint, and it allows for you to combine energy gel with collagen protein. It has a lot of good stuff in it, and the great thing about Built Go is it's not just something that provides you with consistent energy, but also the ability to be really productive in whatever your goal that you have is to accomplish. If you go to BuiltGo.com right now and use the promo code LOCKED, that's BuiltGo.com right now and use the promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order. Again, go to BuiltGo.com and use the promo code LOCKED to get 20% off your next order from Built Go. Let's go. As we continue our draft coverage throughout this week, along with any other news that comes with potential trades and free agency, I'm going to be glad to welcome some familiar names back to the show who will certainly, you know, we'll go into detail with when it comes to the Grizzlies' great draft night, you know, again for the 3rd year in a row. Former Grizzlies beat writer and CBS College Sports writer David Cobb will actually be joining us later on this week to discuss the Grizzlies with some insight on a lot of the names that the Grizzlies added in this year's draft. And also, a good friend of the show, Brad Rowland, he works through the Locked On Grizzlies podcast, wears many hats covering the Atlanta Hawks and the Atlanta Braves. He's done a lot of great draft work through the Locked On Podcast Network's draft coverage this year. He'll be joining us, giving his take kind of on the draft in general and focused on the Grizzlies as well. Some really knowledgeable and noteworthy names who will be coming on the show to provide us further draft coverage, not only on the Grizzlies, but the NBA in general. But let's talk about this collection of players that the Grizzlies added tonight. And I want to stress where they were picked in general. It's very unlikely that, you know, multiple of these players turn into, you know, just significant true pieces that add to a potential championship core. But the thing about it is this, is that this group as a whole really offers tremendous value for the Grizzlies over the next few years because of their cheap costs that they're going to be on and the way that they fit Memphis in time, probably into next week, I'll be going into detail on each of these players on how they really project to fit or fit a need for Memphis and how they have the potential to even exceed their expectations that many had for them, where they were drafted, why they were a steal, why Memphis selected them, why they made sense, and how they really can help Memphis going forward. But in general, a few weeks ago over at Grizzly Bear Blues, I wrote an article in which I talked about traits or preferences that the Memphis Grizzlies front office had shown, trends that they had shown when it came to the type of player profiles or skill sets that they targeted when it came to their draft picks or when it came to their additions to the franchise. I focused on Brandon Clark, I focused on John Concher, and I focused on DeAnthony Melton. Well, through that process, I looked at shot selection, I looked at efficiency outside of shooting, and I also looked at playmaking ability on both ends of the court. Three names that stood out as being highly comparable to Brandon Clark, John Concher, and DeAnthony Melton in this draft class were Desmond Bain, Xavier Tillman, and Killian Tilly. It's not a big secret as to why the Grizzlies added these players, and it's no surprise that they targeted them specifically. These were the three players, with their shooting capability, especially for Bane and Tilly, that really matched what this Grizzlies front office and coaching staff focuses on when it comes to filling out their roster. That's efficiency, that's players that can make plays on both ends of the court, highly intelligent and aware players, players whose fundamentals are very, very good and have great mentality that will buy into the team, high character guys. You could say that, you know, about Desmond Bane. You could say it about Xavier Tillman. You could say it about Killian Tilly. And in general, players that also fit the needs for the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies' big needs were secondary playmaking and shooting when it came to what they needed to add through this offseason. And they added it in bunches with these players. Desmond Bane offers incredible shooting ability, arguably the best shooter in the class. He offers the ability to be able to play next to Ja Morant, and he can add value both as a passer, as a defensive playmaker on the perimeter, and through other options as well. With the 40-inch vertical, he's got athleticism to work with as well. Xavier Tillman, not that good of a shooter, but he's the type of player that could really create value besides not potentially being a reliable threat on the outside, you know, throughout his career. He could develop that. He has the intelligence to get open and make a shot if it's there. But where he's going to add value is doing the small things, setting screens, offensive rebounding. On offense, it's also his playmaking ability. He arguably, well, I can almost say unanimously, was looked at as being potentially the best passing big man in this draft. And that really stands out in today's game. A lot of the front court players who you see emerge as having higher ceilings than they expected was because of their ability to be a playmaker, especially at the top of the key in the low post. Xavier Tillman has a literal ability to pass and pass effectively in many situations in many different parts of the court, and that's really, really encouraging with this young Grizzlies roster. But also with Tillman is his defense. And it's not that he's a highly athletic player. He probably is someone that will be a liability away from the basket. But he can protect the rim, one of the best post help defenders in this draft, one of the best defensive communicators in this draft, and just a really aware player. He gets it. He knows how to adapt based on a team's defensive scheme and make a difference. So that's what stood out about Tillman. And then when it comes to Killian Tilly, it's the same thing on a lot of different ways when it comes to Tillman. Highly intelligent player, bit limited when it comes to athleticism, but will do the small things, incredible footwork, incredible intelligence, but the big thing about him is his shooting ability. We're talking about historic shooting ability when it comes to a big. He's probably not going to be that self-sufficient as a shooter, probably not going to be someone who's going to sit there and be pulled up five times a game, but in terms of a pick and pop option, in terms of someone that can rotate in, you know, on the outside, who can continue an offensive scheme through passing, and has the intelligence to get open in multiple ways for catch and shoot three opportunities, he's basically going to be a much more talented, in my opinion, Anthony Tolliver, and that truly does have value off a bench, especially in a system like Taylor Jenkins. So when it comes to these three players that the Grizzlies added, there are multiple reasons as to why each of them were added to the Grizzlies franchise during the draft. A lot of it comes down to the fact that they match the type of skill sets and profiles that the Grizzlies really look to target due to efficiency and when it comes to adding value outside of scoring, when it comes to their ability to be playmakers on both ends of the court. All those things apply to these players. But also, it's the ability to shoot and just in general, being high character, hardworking, quality individuals. You can say that about each of these individuals. When you look at the scouting reports for all three of these guys, it stood out that they were regarded as being of high character and just good, genuine individuals, and that makes a difference. A lot of NBA teams are trying to build a culture. They're trying to have a culture off the court that cultivates and adds to the probability that they can continue to add players who will exceed expectations when they're on the court. You see what it's done in Denver. You see what it did for the Heat through Heat culture, quote-unquote, in Miami. Well, the Grizzlies are trying to create their own version of that, and tonight they did an absolutely wonderful job adding several players who fit the mold that they're looking for both on and off the court and really can continue to contribute to building the brand that is this new generation of Memphis basketball, but also to give it the depth that it needs to, in time, become a sustainable winner and potential championship contender in today's NBA. But the thing about it is that it's great that these pieces were added for the future, but in the present, especially in the next coming days, these draft picks that have come in mean that there's other moves to be made. Coming up, I'll go into detail as to how the draft selections from tonight could impact the futures of many current Grizzlies over the next several days. So obviously, as I mentioned, this is one great thing about this week is that we'll go to sleep tonight and then we'll wake up tomorrow and we'll be right back into, you know, the mix of rumors and reaction to the draft. You know, a week that certainly has gotten a lot more exciting for the Grizzlies and their fans than many had anticipated coming into this, but it's not done. We've still got, you know, the trade season is still certainly here. Free agency, though, yeah, the names may not be as exciting as they have been in the past. Obviously, though, we have some added intrigue from trades that have already happened, trades that we thought had happened that now are not occurring, and also trades that potentially could happen. All of that could impact free agency. So we're going to keep you locked in here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast with all the news breaking around the NBA as well as with the Grizzlies especially. But we'll continue to obviously offer a lot of content breaking down this draft class and really what it means for these specific players that have been added to Memphis. So plenty to come this next week, and obviously, you know, the rest of this week and into next week. Really looking forward to getting detailed with y'all on how it all makes great sense for Memphis and really talking about any other moves that potentially could come down the pipeline. And that's the thing about that. That's a ripple effect that comes from this draft, is that the moves are not yet done being made. So we know that Xavier Tillman and Desmond Bane are added to this roster. Whatever contracts will be signed, those details will come out in due time. But also, the Grizzlies did fill both of their two-way options, which will probably be, you know, players that will probably be used this season, in Killian Tilly as well as Sean McDermott. Now, I'll certainly in a future episode in the near future break down Sean McDermott, the intrigue that the Grizzlies probably had in him. They also signed Jahlil Tripp from Pacific on an Exhibit 10 contract. So we'll start there. With Tripp, he likely is an addition to the Hustle. He's an addition to the South Haven Hustle in terms of his contract with the Grizzlies. Just a developmental piece to add to the Hustle, see what he can do down there. Probably never really emerges into something, you know, of true relevance, but at least is someone that the Grizzlies thought was talented enough to take a flyer on. When it comes to McDermott and when it comes to Killian Tilly, the significance of them taking over the two-way contracts is that now you no longer have those as options for three players that the Grizzlies were looking at, you know, possibly extending their futures with Memphis in Jontae Porter, in John Concher, and in Yuta Watanabe. Now, with Yuta Watanabe, it's simple. The Grizzlies had him for round. Let's just be honest. The Grizzlies had him around because he was a player that offered a lot of marketing potential. And that's what the Grizzlies probably enjoyed with him. That's not taking anything away from Yuta Watanabe. It's just being, you know, truthful. But at 26, we've seen his development. The Grizzlies have plenty of knowledge about what his potential truly is. And at 26, there's not much there. He's never really seemed like he could really crack a rotation in terms of what the Grizzlies were looking to, you know, present fit when it comes to them being on the court. And so I really didn't think that he had a long-term fit here in Memphis, and it now seems the writing is on the wall that Yuta Watanabe will be moving on to another organization. Jontay Porter, as we discussed, has his team option that could be picked up tomorrow. The decision on that is due for the 19th. But there had been speculation that the Grizzlies may decline that option and then add him to the regular roster on a cheap contract going forward. Now, a couple of things that did come out from Zach Kleiman's media session after the draft was that both Justice Winslow and Jaren Jackson Jr. are not expected to be available to start the season potentially. That was not directly said, but it was hinted at that the Grizzlies are not going to rush those two players back. So there may be open roster spots unexpectedly to start the season. Now, does that mean the Grizzlies pick up the team option for Jontay Porter? I'm not entirely sure. I do feel it's more likely than not. There certainly is significantly more likelihood that he will see his option decline, and the Grizzlies may no longer sign him because they're now adding Tillman and they're adding Tilly. Two intriguing front court options that basically are filling the same need that Jontay Porter did. So you could see Jontay Porter stay for certain reasons, but in my opinion, more than likely, you could see him on his way going forward. John Concher was extended a qualifying offer for the Grizzlies before the deadline today. And when he was extended that qualified offer, that means the Grizzlies could certainly match a contract for him. Now, what that means is that he likely is going to be signed to a around the minimum multi-year contract to be an end-of-the-bench option for the Grizzlies. However, him being signed to that brings up more questions. What does this mean for De'Anthony Melton, especially with Desmond Bane being added to the equation? Well, I do think that it means that De'Anthony Melton, I don't think that it means De'Anthony Melton is not long for Memphis. I think it makes sense for Memphis to certainly see if they can keep him. But I think that Desmond Bane is added because of his shooting ability and what he can offer across the board. And so the Grizzlies are basically keeping their options open. They're likely going to try to do what they can to keep De'Anthony Melton, but this probably does mean that they're not going to overpay for Melton, and it could increase the likelihood that you see the Grizzlies do a sign and trade with Melton in the right situation. The addition of Desmond Bane, especially if they were to keep both Concher and Melton, also could open up the opportunity that the Grizzlies may look to trade Dylan Brooks, get his brother's name in there. They could look to trade Tyus Jones. It's just about them creating options in the coming days. So I don't necessarily think this leads to another significant trade. I do think, though, that this certainly, you know, makes it less likely that the Grizzlies really do overpay for Melton. I think it makes it more likely that Yuta Watanabe and Jontay Porter are on their way out. And I do also think that this shows a clear preference that the Grizzlies are going to continue to really, really have a focus on shooting going forward. So I do think that this certainly opens up a lot more options. Tonight's additions to the franchise, I feel, open up plenty of doors for other moves to be made. With the depth that was added in the front court, not only could it mean that Yuta Watanabe and Jontay Porter are on their way out, it also could mean that you could see even Jonas or Gorgui Dieng traded in the right trade if the Grizzlies feel they can get good assets. Just like Desmond Bane could mean that in the right move, Dylan Brooks or Tyus Jones are traded. Again, I don't think that it's likely to see that type of name traded this offseason, but I do think that the Grizzlies are at least creating depth to have that option on the table if they did want to trade one of those pieces in the near future. And that just goes back to the main point that I had in the first segment. It's all about thinking forward, being two or three steps ahead of your move instead of just doing things out of reaction for what you think makes sense. The whole idea for the Grizzlies is a long-term view and keeping options on the table. The addition of these players, it could wind up making very little difference this season. And there also is a chance that none of these players, including Bane and Tillman, may work out. They may each wind up just being, you know, into the rotation type players and never really materializing into anything in Memphis. But you have to bet with confidence that Memphis is going to turn at least a few of these guys into relevant rotation pieces due to their overall skill, the way that they match Memphis's preferences, and the Grizzlies' ability to show that they can develop talent from last year. You've got to bet with confidence that there's a good chance that multiple talents, especially Tillman, Tilly, and Bane, could turn into very good values going forward. And because of that depth now, you have trade options out there. You have secondary options. You have alternatives to where if DeAnthony Melton, it doesn't make sense to bring him back, you could either do a sign and trade, or you could just simply let him walk with confidence knowing that you found a long-term replacement for him. Depth is never a bad thing, especially when you create it basically without giving up a lot of a significant value. 4 seconds is not a lot of value. The Grizzlies could go out there and get that the seconds back just as easily as they traded him away. So creating this much depth and this much quality depth without giving up a significant asset in the future would be a major, major win for the Grizzlies, even on top of the talents that they added. And again, it just goes to show how much confidence and creativity, how much confidence that we should all have in the creativity of this front office due to them not only planning ahead, but also allowing for them to have as many options as possible in place to continue to improve this core as time goes on. A lot of great stuff tonight, a lot of detail. We certainly will continue to expand on each of these players more in detail in the coming days through these episodes. Again, really excited to say that here in the near future, we will have former beat writer David Cobb, who now works for CBS Sports as a college analyst. He'll be on the show with us. One of the best minds when it comes to basketball through the Locked On Podcast Network, Brad Rowland. He'll be with me next week, more than likely, to discuss the Grizzlies draft as well as drafts around the league. And just to general, we'll make sure that you stay updated on all the potential news that could occur. Much of that, you know, again, tonight's draft really could open up the opportunity for more unexpected moves in the next coming days. So it certainly will be exciting to see what Memphis may do. And if anything does come to light, we'll make sure to have all the analysis and perspective and breakdown for you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Find myself at StatsSAC, the show at Locked On Grizz, and you can find the podcast wherever they're available. Listen to us, subscribe to us, comment on us, let us know what you think. We're going to be so glad to make sure that our content always meets your preferences. And that's another great thing about the covering this team, is that when it's a time of year where things are expected to happen, this Grizzlies front office is always in place. Even though you may not hear a lot of information about it beforehand, you can always bet they're doing what they can to make as much happen to benefit the Grizzlies as much as possible. Thank you for listening. Hope that you have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.